This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What they talk about when they talk about trade at Davos, Switzerland. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. 3,000 political, business, and thought leaders are at the World Economic Forum in Davos, the winter gathering at a Swiss ski resort taking place at a time that the economy in many regions around the world have been registering gains. President Trump has arrived ahead of his speech tomorrow about America First. Doesn't mean America alone. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand, is following this. Hi, Anu.
Good morning, David.
President Trump will be defending his America-focused trade agenda in Davos with help today from some business notables.
That's right. Jamie Dimon, no less. He's the CEO, of course, of JP Morgan Chase, one of America's biggest banks. Of course, everyone is wondering about U.S. trade policy, especially after the president imposed tariffs on Chinese solar panels, on South Korean washing machines. You've also got the latest round of talks on NAFTA taking place in Montreal. Now, my colleague, the BBC's Simon Jack, asked Jamie Dimon if Donald Trump has actually started a trade war.
I think he's raised a lot of legitimate issues about trade. Some NAFTA, which needs to be modernized, which I hope they do. I'm very pro-trade. And then some about China and the rest of the world. Tariffs, non-tariff barriers, intellectual property, lack of reciprocity. Those are legitimate issues. I think he's quite serious about getting fairer trade deals for America.
Fundamentally, there's some help from one of America's biggest CEOs in President Trump's trade policy.
And some interesting talk there in the Swiss Alps about what's this notion, a currency war with the U.S. currency?
Well, yes. Yesterday, we had the U.S. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, who's in Davos, saying that a weaker dollar is good for American exports. Now, that actually sent the dollar to 3-year low. And remember that the U.S. government doesn't normally ever meddle in currency markets. So we then had the head of the IMF, Christine Lagarde, saying that Mr. Mnuchin must urgently clarify his remarks. So today at a Davos panel, Steve Mnuchin clarified that he fundamentally, quote unquote, believes in the strength of the U.S. dollar. So again, all of this really highlighting the worries around the world about where U.S. trade policy is going, how far President Trump is prepared to go. And of course, we will hear directly from him tomorrow in his speech, which winds up the World Economic Forum.
So his speech, but also Trump will hold meetings with the British and Israeli prime ministers, as well as Paul Kagame, the president of Rwanda in East Central Africa.
And this is such an interesting meeting, David, of course, because after President Trump's rather derogatory comment that was reported about African countries, he's now going to have to sit down face to face with a leader of an African country. What an interesting encounter that will be.
My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Anu Anand in London. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
Now, if you want to see some nice private planes, visit the regional airports around Davos. Someone counted 1,000 private jets. The big planes like Air Force One fly into Zurich, but Kloster's Airport, about a half hour away, apparently looks like a private jet trade show today. Yesterday, we learned that existing home sales fell last month in America because there are so few houses on the market. New home sales data are due in just a few minutes. And just a question here. Has the housing market 10 years after the great mortgage meltdown become too hot? Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell is here. Good morning.
How are you doing, David?
So this is the part in the movie where someone looks down at their screen and says, And the is about, is there a bubble inflating, do you think, with real estate prices in these United States?
Well, there's a group of people that think the answer is yes. I mean, when I've been thinking about bubbles, I go Bitcoin. But James Stack, he's a money manager based out of Whitefish, Montana. And he's well known for predicting the previous bubble, 2005.
What's he saying now?
And now he's saying, look, Housing prices, record high. The home builder stocks, that was the best performing group last year. Another bubble is in the making. And so all of a sudden, people are starting to pore over the numbers and say, wait a second, should we be looking at real estate? Because you know what? That really matters to the household balance sheet.
All right, but bubble, when it comes to house prices, isn't that a little overinflated as a claim at this point?
I think it is. And Bill McBride, he also was very accurate in predicting the 2005-2006 housing market bubble. He's with Calculated Risk. And he says, look, you're just not seeing the kind of rampant speculation that you saw back in 2005. And, you know, lenders are still reasonably conservative. And yes, prices are too high in parts of the country. But still places like Cleveland are struggling, you know, to come out and, you know, see their prices appreciate.
All right. But I say this twice a week. Trees don't grow to the sky. What are some headwinds for the real estate market?
Boy, there are a number of headwinds. For 2018, we got this, what would you call it? The tax cuts. You know, the reduction in the deductions for state and local government taxes. That's going to hurt the high-end part of the market. And then Jerome Powell, he's been confirmed by the Senate to be the head of the Federal Reserve. And he's clearly in the let's raise interest rates camp. And then I think housing prices in most parts of the country have gotten ahead of incomes.
Which is a key thing, because when that is the case, maybe you should not be buying.
Exactly. And so when it comes to your own household personal finances, you don't want to be house poor. Talk to anybody who a decade ago was house poor and how miserable that can be. So whether or not there's a bubble, if you are stretching your finances to buy, that's a signal not to buy.
Chris Farrell is Marketplace's senior economics contributor. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
House poor when you're paying too much for your house and therefore have no money for anything else. You think of mortgage, but property and mortgage insurance, property taxes, utility, that burst pipe. What's that maple tree stuck in my garage? In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.